Hello, welcome to Locked on Sharks, the premier hockey podcast of your favorite team in the Bay Area. And we actually have real live hockey to talk about. So we're going to cover the Sharks 3-2 overtime win in their first preseason game against the Kings. So all that and more on today's episode of Locked on Sharks.
Your Locked on Sharks, your daily podcast on the San Jose Sharks. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I'm your host, JD Young, contributor at Fear the Fin and San Jose Hockey Now. I want to thank you, of course, for making Locked on Sharks your first listen of the day. We're free and available wherever you get podcasts. And of course, you can subscribe on YouTube where you can see me supporting the Tua jersey one more time as my Dolphins are 3-0. Let's go. But the Sharks played their first preseason game. But if a preseason game is played and no one's allowed to watch it on TV, is it actually played? My quick little rant, really, before we get going. It's 2022, the year of our Lord, Gary Bettman, and we still can't watch preseason games. I know it's the whole thing where the teams don't own their own rights to stream it and stuff, but Gary, buddy, I don't even care if it's just like the single cam like we had at the rookie tournament. Like, it's 2022 and we can't even watch preseason games. And like, it just, like, Dan Rusinowski does an amazing, he's one of the best in the world at calling a game on the radio. I love Dan Rusinowski. He's amazing. But you know, there's stuff you miss because you're just not being able to watch the game. So I'm going to get off my soapbox. Nothing. This is not a shot at you, Dan Rusinowski. You are amazing at your job. One of the best in the world. I love listening to Dan Rusinowski. I can listen to Dan Rusinowski read the phone book. He is amazing at his job. But still, I want to see what's going on. And so we're going to do our best to try to kind of get some takeaways here. We're going to look at the box scores. We're going to go old school looking at the box scores. We're going to see, you know, kind of talk about the lineups and how they actually played out and who got opportunities on doing what. We're going to look at some of the analytics and then kind of take a look at some of the big takeaways from the game. So let's get into it. Again, as the Sharks won 3-2 in overtime, thanks to a Logan Couture goal in overtime. This game was a penalty-filled mess. Let's start with that, where the Kings, the Kings went 0-for-8 on the power play, and the Sharks went 0-for-7 on the power play. So a ton of power play goals. David Quinn did talk about how they have not spent 1 second of practice working on special teams. So pretty interesting for the Sharks to basically kind of get thrown into the fire. Quinn did talk about how he was pretty impressed with the way they played. He said he thought the power play looked good, especially in the first period before they even actually practiced it. But we'll get into the special teams here in a little bit. Let's actually start with the actual lines going into this game, where the Sharks did play a lot of their main guys just because they have a very truncated preseason. And, you know, especially with them going to Europe to start the season, they're trying to get some of these guys some ice time now. That way when they can kind of hit the ground running a little bit. So first line was Timo Hertl and then Luke Cunning. Second line was William Eklund, Logan Couture, Kevin LeBanc. Third line was CJ Seuss, Thomas Bortolo, and Evgeny Svechnikov. Fourth line, Jeffrey Viel, Jasper Weatherby, and Adam Raska. So plenty of muscle on that fourth line there. A lot of thick boys there. on the defense, we saw the Nudavar Erik Karlsson pairing that we've seen in training camp. Those guys playing together. Shimmick Matt Benning, and then tryout Scott Harrington and Montana Onyebuchi. Onyebuchi, of course, on an AHL contract. And then Kaapo Kähkönen got the start, and he played the whole game. We'll go with Kaapo first. So Kaapo, again, from what you can gather, 43 saves on 45 shots tonight for a 956 save percentage. That is that's a pretty good start for Kaapo Kähkönen as he's trying to kind of claim this number one goal tending position. And he faced a lot of different shot qualities. So if you're looking at, we'll get into kind of 5-on-5 and all a little bit later, but going 43 of 45, he had 14 high danger chance shots against him, and then had 12 saves, 13 mid danger, and of course 13 mid danger saves, and 14 low danger, or sorry, 17 low danger and 17 low danger saves. So Kaapo, I think he had a pretty good night, especially with after a very slow first period where the Sharks had like three power plays back-to-back-to-back. He kind of played pretty well. You know, the Kings actually had, under all situations, their expected goals for was almost four goals, and he only gave up two. So pretty solid night for Kaapo Kähkönen. I know the Kings was more of a Reigns, their AHL affiliate lineup, but you know, that's what you want to see, is kind of building some of this confidence and kind of getting your groove early, especially for a goalie who wants to go out there and be the guy this year and be that 50 to 55 start type of guy from Kaapo Kähkönen. So, you know, good start for him, especially keeping it clean on under eight power play opportunities and didn't let in a goal there. So, you know, and I think the one first goal, the goals they kind of left were a lot of defensive breakdowns where he's on a 2-on-1 type of situation and has to try to make a save there. So, and then, you know, I was with the defense, you know, I thought it was interesting that Marcus Nudavar got a lot of ice time. After the game, you know, David Quinn did talk about where, since he hasn't played a lot, they wanted to kind of give him a lot of opportunities. He played almost 20 minutes. He played 19 minutes tonight. Had some power play, 2 minutes power play, and almost 5 minutes of shorthanded. You know, Quinn rotated all the defensemen on the penalty kills so that way they could get some opportunities and not just to wear guys out. I don't think we're going to see Erik Karlsson kind of filling that Brent Burns, I'm going to play, 90% of the penalty kill minutes. But, you know, of course, the Sharks did have a lot of penalty kill opportunity. But Harrington played, 4.5 minutes of shorthanded time. He played 17 and a half minutes time on ice. Benning had 23 and a half minutes of time on ice. And he pretty well divided 6.5 minutes of power play and then a little over 6 minutes of shorthanded. Radim Šimek, 20 minutes of time on ice, 4 minutes on the power play. Yes, Radim Šimek, power play specialist, and then 6:42 of shorthanded time. Karlsson, 24 minutes and 24 seconds, 7:13 power play, 3 minutes shorthanded. And I think with hopefully in the season, Karlsson won't be having to play a lot of shorthanded, because I think some of these, your Ferraros and your Bennings and Šimeks and Vlasics, hopefully those guys can be your key penalty killers and let Karlsson cook in the offensive zone. So Marcus Nudavar, like I said, 19 minutes, 2 minutes of power play time, 4:49 of shorthanded time. And Montana Onyebuchi, little under 15 minutes of time played, and then 4 seconds power play and 3:16 of shorthanded time. So from the defense, it was good to see that they were kind of more engaged. They're mixing and matching stuff, kind of throwing stuff against the wall to see what works and what doesn't. Very early in training camp here. So I know Karlsson had a bit of a miscue. He had a turnover that led to the Kings' second goal there, but that's going to happen. It's preseason. Nobody's 100% perfect, especially on the blue line like that. So, But from what I, you know, all accounts is they played a pretty solid game. It was good to see a lot of these different guys get involved in different aspects of the game. So before we continue, though, do want to take a quick break, let you guys know, of course, about our friends over at Athletic Greens. If you guys don't know about Athletic Greens, you guys need to go check it out. It's the best way to take care of yourself, and it's something that you can do first thing in the morning. If you want to get better gut health, more energy, you want to optimize your immune system, and you don't want to take a bunch of pills and vitamins, that's where Athletic Greens comes in. One scoop of their AG1, you're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source superfoods, and probiotics to help you start your day right. This special blend of ingredients supports your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy, recovery, focus, aging, all of those things. It's really easy. You just take 8 ounces of water, you dump in the greens, you shake it up, and you drink it. Do it before your morning coffee, and you're good to go. And tons of people that take they take different kinds of multivitamins, and it's important to choose one with high quality ingredients. That way your body will actually absorb it. There's nothing worse than taking it and it's actually not doing anything. AG1 is a small micro habit with big benefits. It's the one thing you can do every single day to help take care of yourself. And it costs less than $3 a day. You're investing in your health, and it's cheaper than going to get coffee every day. It's also cheaper than going to the store and buying all the different supplements every day. So go check out Athletic Greens. Right now, they're giving you a free 1-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/NHL Network. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/NHL Network to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. All right, so I think we got to talk about the forwards and how those looked now. So they did a good job of trying to give some of these young guys a good opportunity and a good look. Among the forwards, Tomas Hertl led time on ice, and that's probably how it's going to be throughout the year, especially right now with the extended power play during this game. He had 19 minutes of time on ice and 7.5 minutes of power time play time with about 4 minutes of shorthanded time. And then you had a bunch of guys in the 17, 18 minute range. So Couture, of course, 18-20, about 7 minutes of power play, little 3-45 of shorthanded time. And then William Eklund was at right just under 18 minutes, 6 minutes of power play time. But this one's big, almost two and a half minutes of shorthanded time. So giving Eklund those minutes to see how he kind of does with that shorthanded. So again, Sharks didn't give up a goal in the power play, which is good. Eklund did finish tonight. He had 2 shots on goal, did have a giveaway and a takeaway as well, and was a minus one. Plus and minus is a terrible stat, so I don't care about that. Bortolo, he 17 and a half minutes, 6:30 of power play time, 27 seconds of shorthanded time, so hasn't really earned that quite yet, which is fine. I don't think that's true. He's going to be a shorthanded, you know, penalty kill type of guy. He had two penalties. One of them, from what it hears, was a little bit of a tough call for him, where he probably didn't deserve the penalty. Did have 5 shots on goal, which is what we like to see. Had a block, a giveaway, and then was 54% in the faceoff dot, which was best on the team. Then we'll talk. Timo Meier didn't play as much as some of the other guys, which is fine. You know what you're getting out of Timo Meier. Like, Timo's ready to go. You know, he did have a goal and assist tonight, so 2 points. Love to see it. 6 shots on goal. Again, if Timo Meier isn't leading the team in shots, I would take Timo Meier over the field in that type of situation. If we're looking at who leads the team in shots at the end of the year, it's going to be Timo Meier unless he's injured. So hit 2 blocks, takeaway, but almost 7 minutes power play time, a little under 2 minutes of shorthanded time. But I think we got to talk about Luke Cunning, who had a goal off a really nice Timo pass. He was able to tip it in there to beat Jonathan Quick to start in the first period there. 3 shots on goal, played kind of all over tonight as well. 17 and a half minutes time on ice, 6.5 minutes of power play time, and then 3.5 minutes shorthanded time. So that line of Timo, Cunning, and Hurdle was one of the probably the best line for the Sharks tonight. If you look at their fancy stats over on Natural Stat Trick, they played 6 minutes together at 5-on-5. So again, this is 5-on-5, right? That's where you're in most games, the majority of your time is played. So that's why it's so much more important. They had seven events happen. So the Corsi four, that's kind of shots or shot attempts that they happened. They gave up seven as well, but they scored two goals. They produced their expected goals was a 0.36, which was the best out of the Sharks lines, forward lines. And then their expected goals allowed was a 0.29. So they did a good job of doing that. And I think you're going to see that from Hurdle and Meyer. And if it's most likely going to be Barabanov or whoever's playing with them, I mean, Hurdle and Meyer, we know Hurdle and Meyer, that's the engine of the team for the Sharks is what they do. So the Seuss-Borlaug Svechnikov line was actually pretty solid as well tonight. I mean, all the lines kind of got toasted, to be honest, just because the Kings outshot the Sharks so badly tonight. But yeah, you know, what can we learn from it? And you know, this line, they did have four shot attempts from their line. They did also, the Borderline line did also produce three scoring chances, four while only giving up two scoring chances, which is good to see. Two high danger chances while also giving up one high danger chance. So they did have two rush attempts against them. But again, those guys did get a majority of offensive zone faceoffs. They had four offensive zone, one neutral zone, and then two defensive zones. So, and then I guess the Eklund, Couture, LeBanc line, they played 6:31 together. They had three shot attempts, four, but gave up seven shot attempts, and they didn't really, scoring chances wise, they had two scoring chances. Well, they gave up three. They did give up one high danger chance as well. And they got a lot of defensive zone, which is, I think, again, we want to see how Eklund does in these different situations. So I wonder if Quinn wants to see how they're doing, and especially with Eklund's transition game, and see if he can actually help to bring that, you know, what we've seen at other levels or in rookie faceoffs, bringing that to the NHL and using that defensive zone transitions to get out and start the offense. So yeah, like I said, they had two offensive zone, two neutral zone, and six defensive zone. So I know we didn't have Nick Bonino tonight. Be interesting to see if Logan Couture continues to get the lion's share of these defensive zone faceoffs once the season gets going. So because yeah, that's I assume Nick Bonino will probably get those. If it's a Nick Bonino, what's it, we're probably gonna get like a Nick Bonino, Noah Gregor, and whomever they want to, you know, if it's Cunning, I gotta work on the Cunning, whomever is playing on there. But it'll be interesting to see how that third line is utilized, or if it's Logan Couture, if Quinn wanted to use Couture in that because he's always going to be defensively responsible, and then let Hurdle and Meyer kind of cook in the offensive zone. So, yeah. Before we kind of get into breakaway, kind of big takeaways from the game, and look at what's next for the Sharks as we continue to get through preseason, do want to take a quick break, let you guys know, of course, about Locked On NHL. Thank you guys, of course, for making Locked On Sharks your first listen. We're free and available wherever you get podcasts. As you cover the Sharks each and every day, 5 days a week, your team every day. But make sure when you guys are done listening to Locked On Sharks, go check out Locked On NHL, as they got you covered for all the national news. You know, we've got plenty of storylines. We're getting ready for the season here. Western Conference Wednesdays for them on Wednesdays. So they do Wednesday shows based around Western Conference talk. Then Thursday, they're going to be doing power rankings. You know, right now, as they lead up to the season, we'll be looking at top 10 stuff. They did like top 10 coaches last week. So make sure you guys are checking out Locked On NHL wherever you get podcasts. And of course, subscribe on YouTube there as well. All right. So I think the big takeaways, you can't overreact too much because one, the Kings were not really lining up a full lineup, and they had that right, especially since this is their first preseason game and they have a little bit more time before their season starts. With the Sharks, with their season starting much earlier, you kind of saw that intensity kind of starting to ramp up for them, where they're trying to get things going a little bit quicker. So that's why they played a much more veteran lineup tonight. And you saw, you know, Hurdle, Meyer, Couture, Carlson, Kunin, like you saw a bunch of these guys who are going to be playing all, those are all kind of top nine guys for the Sharks this expect to be this season. And then a nice sprinkle of, letting Matt Benning and Šimek kind of they test things out, and then letting Carlson and Nudavara kind of play together and kind of work on that. So really interesting to see the Carlson Nudavara going forward, because it's not what you normally see where you have Carlson and a very defensive defenseman. But I like it. I like the, hey, let's just have good players playing. And I think Marcus Nudavara can be a good player. We'll see how he responds after this injury. Again, he's played one hockey game in the past season. But having two guys who can move the puck, I think that's helpful at the same time. It'll be interesting how these guys go. And then, of course, how Eklund and Bortolo especially kind of respond to all these different situations. It's good to see Eklund getting a lot of opportunities in different types of situations. Again, he saw six defensive zone starts tonight, which is not something you would kind of expect. So I'm wondering if Quinn's seen how he responds to all this, and if he can, and how he responds. So, and then if he can kind of take what the coaching staff gives him, build off it and get better. So, again, he's only 19. He'll be 20 basically once the season starts, and seeing if all that playing that third line role that he played in the SHL, that's going to help build that foundation for him. So that way when he comes in, he can kind of be utilized. They don't have to shelter him, right? That's not like we saw last year with the borderline line, where that line was sheltered. Not having to shelter your second line of Eklund, Couture, LeBanc, or Eklund, Couture, Lindblom, or whoever, not having to shelter that line because Eklund can play, he can play in his own zone and get the puck out of his zone and start the offense. That's what we want to see from him. And it's a good first step. And, Quinn said after the game, he liked what he saw out of Bortolo and Eklund. And there's some stuff that they're going to have to work on, but he said that's about every player. And it's the first preseason game, and they haven't installed they haven't installed any of their special teams. So seeing these guys go out there and kind of wing it, and that's what you like to see. Little baby steps right now. So as for the Sharks, they have no practice on Monday. And then they'll be trimming the roster probably on Tuesday as they get ready for their next preseason game. So kind of just a quick schedule update. So their next preseason game isn't until the 27th, which is Saturday, right? Yes. Friday, sorry. Then Saturday they play the 28th. So they have kind of a couple games here. So they'll be using this week to kind of trim the roster. I'm sure we'll kind of see a lot of maybe the junior guys heading back. So you're Mason Beaupetz, your Gaudreaus, your Jake Furlong, like these guys who hung around after the rookie tournament. You'll probably see them go back to their junior years and get that stuff started. And then probably starting to see the AHL team start to take form. So I wouldn't be surprised if your Tristan Robbins and your Brandon Coes and guys like that head to the Barracuda so they can start getting their training camp underway. So no practice on Monday. And then other news too was Alexander Barabanov, day-to-day lower body injury. So I'm sure right now they're being very cautious with him. You don't want to make something worse than what it needs to be. So especially in preseason right now. So, and I know it's a new system, but Barabanov, Hurdle, and Meyer know how to play together and they'll be fine. So let him get some rest. get ready for the season or season opener. So I'm sure we'll probably see him at some point. But yes, that's again. So timeline for this week, we have a little bit of a cut down on names. So we'll cover all that as those start to come out. I assume that'll probably be on. We'll probably know more on Tuesday. For tomorrow's show, we're going to be doing a stock up, stock down so far in the preseason, looking at how guys have been used and utilized in training camp, which guys are kind of risers, which guys are kind of fallers, and, you know, just kind of a nice little temperature check as we've got some stuff on ice now that we can actually talk about. So make sure you guys are following along, especially on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Locked On Sharks. Right now on Twitter, since we can't watch the games, we are doing artist renditions of important stuff happening. So go check those out. They're some of the dumbest things I do, but they crack me up for some dumb reason. So go check out the artist renditions. I post them live on Twitter, and then I'll kind of do recaps on Facebook and Instagram. So you can go check out terrible artist renditions of stuff happening. Make sure you guys are subscribed for the podcast, you know, Twitter or Apple, Spotify, Odyssey, you name it. We are there. The season is here. You want to make sure you are ready for your Sharks, as they're probably going to be terrible, but that's okay. We have our eyes on the prize. And then subscribe on YouTube. If you want to help me the most, subscribing and watching on YouTube is the best way to do that. It puts money directly into my pocket with every time you guys watch. So make sure you guys do that. Go subscribe on YouTube. And especially weekends, we're probably going to be doing more live shows after the games, that we don't have to wait till, if a game happens Friday night, you don't want to wait all the way till Monday to find out, you know, kind of what I thought about the game. We're going to be doing stuff live on YouTube. So make sure you guys go subscribe on YouTube. You can follow me on Twitter at MyFryHole. We'll be back tomorrow because it is hockey season and Lockdown Sharks covers your team every day. And that'll do it. Bye, friends.